Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Even what you eat, is a clue. Why don't you take a... Welcome to Local Food Connections, where we discuss the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. We acknowledge that we live, work and eat on the stolen lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay respects to elders past and present and to all those who managed this land for millennia before us. The Local Food Connections show is brought to you by Local Food Connect. I'm Anne Stanley. Today I'm chatting with Sarah Svirts. Oh, I rehearsed this name and then I got it wrong. Svirtsi? And Colette Kukoc.
That's correct.
Sarah said, just say it the Australian way. And I said, no, I'm going to try and say it the German way. But never mind. Colette Cooper, about living in the Murrindarka co-housing community, which is based in Heidelberg Heights in Melbourne, and is an all-rental, values-based cooperative living community. Murrindarka is a local Wurundjeri word meaning a place to stay or live. The cooperative was established in 2011. An earlier model, which started in 1986, was made up eventually of 11 freestanding houses, but there are now custom-built apartments of 18 homes and two freestanding houses. So, Sarah, you live in one of the freestanding houses?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm living in one of the freestanding houses, just a couple of streets away.
Uh-huh. But, still part of the cooperative.
Still, exactly, yeah.
And Colette, you're living in the apartments?
Yeah, my son and I. Yeah,
your son and you, lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, is that a two-bedroom apartment then?
Yeah, sure. It's based on occupancy.
Yeah. Okay, so they are members, so that's Murrindarka, are members of the Earth Common Equity Rental Cooperative and the Common Equity Housing Program. Both of these organisations are part of the co-housing movement in Victoria and nationally through the Sustainable Living Foundation. And they are addressing not only the problems of environmental urgency, but the huge shortage of housing and spiralling rents that we're all familiar with. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for
Good
having
to be
us.
Here.
Sarah, we'll start with you. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us how you came to be involved in Murrindarka?
Yes, so I'm originally from Germany. I came here 8 years ago and, just arrived as, you know, just a normal backpacker and just lived in a couple of families. I looked after children. I worked as a nanny. I did my nursing actually in Germany, my pediatric nursing. I was always, interested in living other countries than Germany. So a couple of my friends came over to Australia or my cousin and I thought, okay, I'll do it as well and book the flights. And but then I came in contact with Murrindarka through my partner's mum. So at first I stayed in the guest room and then I heard more and more about Murrindarka and about the people. I met more people. I joined Common Meals. I'm sure we'll talk about that later, about the Common Meals in the garden. One of the apartments. So I was then house sitting for her and for 6 months.
In her apartment in Murrindarka?
Yeah, in her apartment. And I looked after her cat. And I got more and more contact with the people and I thought this is really cool, this is amazing. I can, you know, I'm meeting friends and making I love it. So and then one of the offsite houses became available and then I thought, okay, I'm gonna apply, see where that take us. And we got accepted and that's where we live right now. So
lovely, thank you. Yeah. And Colette, what about you? What was your journey?
I grew up in the inner north, both my parents. My parents are first generation Australians.
Where did you come from? Where did they come from?
They're both Kiwis. My mum grew up in Belgium though, because her dad is Dutch. So they settled in Melbourne and didn't really know anyone, didn't have any family here. So they got really active in the community, and part of that was becoming part of Ceres. So I kind of grew up with some connection to, you know, the sustainable community. And then went off and did my own thing, had a kid, moved out to the country on a few acres, and then when I separated from my son's dad, ended up, it was during the kind of COVID time, and rental prices crazy, going back to work, so really difficult. And
so you had to come back to the city for work?
At the end of my lease, I was actually in Sunbury because my son's dad was in Malmesbury, so near Kyneton, and that was the closest I could afford to live. And it was difficult, but we made it work. But at the end of a year there, my rent went up, and it was just, it was really difficult. But it was kind of serendipitous because at the same time, my mum had been considering moving into a co-op under CEHL, but a buy-in one. She didn't in the end, just because there wasn't anything suitable when she was looking for somewhere.
Whereabouts? So this is interesting. So I really want to position this as part of a movement, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just this one place in Heidelberg Heights. So where was that one that your mum wanted
to? Well, she was just looking at a few. So there are quite a few. There are different areas. And when you could apply to CEHL, because I recently went through the process, so I've only been at Murrindukka for about 8 months, you can specify certain councils and shires and areas. So there are a few throughout Melbourne, and there are ones scattered throughout Victoria as well. But this is, the only all rental, like you were saying earlier. So long-term rental housing. But, so it came up on Facebook, because she was connected through Facebook, that there was an open day, and came along, and the rest is, I went along, and the rest is history.
So there happened to be...
These are my people,
and you know? There was a flat vacant at the time, is it?
So we've still got a couple of flats vacant, if anyone's interested. we've got a couple of one-bedrooms, but at the time there were two bedrooms available as well.
And so, Sarah, you were going to say something, are you?
Just for talking about CHL, they have over 96 communities, so they are managing 96 communities in Victoria, and I think Murrindukka is one of the most urban ones. We have this huge common house, we'll talk about it later, about the common meals, and we can do workshops and stuff, and I think that was really big before COVID as well. But we have this huge common house, and we've got these two blocks, so and that makes up to the 18 apartments.
Two blocks, you mean two housing blocks? So it's probably like it's a half an acre then, or maybe two-thirds?
I'm not sure exactly.
So it's two housing blocks.
I'd say it'd probably be around half an acre. They're the old, old blocks before
Shrunk. Now, I was there the other day. I went to visit Sarah out there on Friday, and it was really, really beautiful. It's a really basic sort of a building, but it's designed differently. Can you paint a picture of it for us?
So, we've got these two blocks, and in front we've got this big car park for all the residents so they can, park their cars safely. And we've got the two blocks, and then in the middle is this common house, which is just a basic structure, I think, but people put their efforts in and their art and hang up pictures, and we've got this really nice curtains. We've got a really big heater, which I think we're going to upgrade soon so we can... it just makes it really communal to have a nice heater. So people coming together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a big space. It's a big, open, modern, beautiful space, isn't it? Yeah. With a concrete floor.
There's a lot of
light.
Yeah. Nicely designed.
Yeah, yeah. Now we've got lots of fairy lights outside. We've got a nice fire pit in the middle as well, so we can have nice fires. It's all about connection, really. People coming together, and we want to make it really cozy. And then we've got a nice kitchen there. Mm-hmm. It's not a an industrial kitchen.
Commercial.
Yeah, it's not a commercial, kitchen.
Yeah. It's almost there, though, isn't it? It's got two big sinks, and it's got plenty of space. And,
Two dishwashers, maybe in the future we can, it's all about ideas and new proposals for the future to change it into a commercial kitchen so we can do more workshops and do, you know, our kombucha workshops or like jam making and stuff. So that would be really cool. And then have a lot of workshops going. And then upstairs, we've got three guest rooms as well with their bathrooms as well on the landing. So we can always have guests staying. Friends and family can come and stay. And they can spend time with us.
And I was really impressed by the way the way it's designed, that it's not they're flats, but the landings aren't just landings, are they? They're like decks, and you can put out a chair there and views out towards the city, and it's quite lovely.
Yeah, you'll find as well that like often there are just people kind of milling about and using those spaces and connecting in those spaces as well, having chats and stuff, you know. So there's that kind of incidental space, you know, where you can hang out
and sit down.
Yeah, you're not just sort of moving between
your car and your door.
Yeah, exactly. Door, yeah. I think it it's intentionally designed in that way. Yeah.
We have a communal laundry as well. So we've got three washing machines, I mean. And so whenever you go out of your door, you know, you might bump into someone and start a conversation.
I think it's more likely that you do than you don't.
So then you do your washing and you bump in and then, but I really like it because then you know, you start a conversation when you've got a day off. You're just like, let's do something in the garden together, you know, let's plant some seeds and grow.
Even just doing washing together is a basic activity, isn't it?
I think it encourages those kind of like organic interactions, you know, like it's not structured, it's not scheduled, you know, we're so used to that these days. And it's an adjustment moving into that kind of community, but I think it's how we're designed to live. You know, we're social creatures. We used to live in villages, you know, and smaller communities where there was that constant connection and interaction. It is. It's a really beautiful thing.
So you've got 35 people there at the moment, approximately.
I think I'd have to like go through the apartments and count.
And I think, Sarah, you were telling me the youngest is a baby and the oldest is 80, or?
I think four.
Five. Four,
he just turned five. This is the youngest.
That's yours is the youngest. He's just turned five.
So it is like a village then, isn't it? And then it's got a normal range of ages.
Yeah, which is amazing, you know.
Students, casual, part-time workers, full-time, parents.
Everyone brings something different to the community, which is really, really incredible.
And also different skills. So I feel like I learned so much now. I learned so much about composting because we've got a couple of gardeners, horticulturists, permaculturists.
Living there.
Oh,
fantastic.
So just a few. But then, when I moved in, I always tell the story that I had no idea about composting or what an orchard is. I had no idea. But then I get in contact with these things and that opens up more things because now I'm so interested in studying at La Trobe next year. I'm going to do botany. So I'm very influenced by that, also by my partner. So that is a whole new world now.
Sarah is actually on the gardening committee. So, and even though she lives off site, she's one of the people who's in the garden more often than not, you know. She just comes in to do gardening and weeding and composting, you know.
So can you describe the garden to me, Sarah, just how much, especially the food growing trees and that you've got there, because there's a huge potential for it's food there.
Yeah, there's so much. When we had a look around at the trees, there's so much growing now. I'm really looking forward to, we've got a lot of pears now. We've got the cherry guava.
It's been a really Good year as well.
Yeah, last year I think it was not that much, but we've got pears, we've got apples, we've got cherries, we've got various citrus trees, we've got...
bananas.
We've got bananas. You saw them. They're doing really well. We had a big, big avocado tree, and I think we picked around like 15 avocados.
Yeah.
It's not doing so well now, but, you know,
it's coming back.
It's coming back, and we've got a lot of mulberries at the moment. So I think there was a little gardening bee on Thursday or Friday. Yeah. We got like a couple of people came together in the garden, and then we put a tarp underneath. We were shaking the mulberry tree and we got so much then for the common meal on Friday.
They've featured pretty heavily in the last few common meals in the desserts.
Mulberries.
Yeah. Well, they were prolific. I couldn't even believe how many mulberries.
And then we've got the feijoas, and we've got citrus trees, apricots, stone fruits. Yeah, loquats are good.
And then
kiwis,
and then there's all of the, you know, the veggies and stuff, and the edible herbs and like edible weeds and stuff that are
native.
Very much.
They've just kind of, I mean, I think through neglect as well, through COVID and everything.
But that's good sometimes.
That's what I was going to say.
Nature's can do a lot.
Absolutely.
So, and then we've got two or three kind of plots for community veggies to grow. So this is what we're going to do on the gardening bee, which happens if, like some Sundays when we can, when the weather is nice. I think in winter it was not much.
We have once a month, we have our whole group meetings. So because we, we're tenants, but at the same time, because we're part of EarthCirc, we that's the organization that kind of manages it, and so in each household there's a director, so we have our meeting once a month, and you know, we try to organize garden bees. Sarah and the garden group try to organize gardening bees on those days, because we know that people are going to be around. So
I'm going to stop. We're going to have a break. Believe it or not, we're more than halfway through. And after the break, I do want to get into a little bit more about how the participation's organised, because there's obligations here, isn't there? You're not. It's not a case of just moving in and closing your door. And
it's not a free ride.
No. All right. We'll have a little break and listen to some announcements.
Push on a pedal, push on a pedal, get your heart started. Push on a pedal, push it down and up again. Push on a pedal.
You have to try very hard not to have fun on a push bike. Yarrabug, a show of bad bikes.
Get on your bike.
Riding them.
Sit on the seat.
Fixing them.
Push your feet on the pedal.
Loving them.
And ride it all around.
Mondays, 10 a.m. to 10:30 here on 3CR.
Push your feet on the pedals. And ride it all around, ride it all around.
Disasters like flood, fire, and extreme heat can have a significant impact on people's lives. Community legal centres help people experiencing challenges posed by climate change and disasters to access the resources and support they need. Disasters can lead to a range of problems, such as damage to your home, poor conditions with your rental home, difficulty getting insurance, issues within families, at work, and with Centrelink payments. Community legal centres can be found across Victoria and can provide help if you've been affected by a disaster. To find a community legal centre near you, visit the Federation of Community Legal Centres website at fclc.org.au. You can also contact Disaster Legal Help Victoria on 1800 113 432 and go to its website for helpful information at disasterlegalhelp.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
This is the Local Food Connection Show on 3CR 855 kHz on your radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. Downloadable podcasts are also available at 3cr.org.au/localfoodconnections episodes. And so now available is the Community Radio Plus app. Today my guests are Sarah Svietzi. Yay! And Colette Cooper. And we're discussing the Murundaka co-housing community in Heidelberg Heights and what it's like to live there. So I might start with you, Colette, just to tell us a little bit about the values of that are embedded in it of participation and kind of contribution.
Yeah, okay. Well, like you mentioned, like we've been talking about, you know, the one of the chief values is sustainability. And, yeah, so I suppose when people move in, there's an expectation that they're conscious of their footprint, you know, and their impact on their environment. But part of that sustainability as well is building community. So I think the part of building community is really being active, you know, and that's really, really important in our co-op. We try and encourage participation in a lot of different ways. But we were talking before about groups and committees. And, part of the structure is that we have committees for different areas of governance and, areas of how to manage the co-op and keep things running, keep the wheels on. So the expectation, you know, at the moment is that people, they are involved in a committee or a group.
So everybody commits to one or another?
Yeah.
They just choose whatever their interest is? Or
Or, you know, where there's a need. For me, when I moved in, someone had just left the maintenance team, so I jumped in on maintenance. I've now moved to finance. I'm getting trained up at the moment. So, there are some that require, you know, sort of more physical participation, like in the garden and stuff, and then some that kind of are more the administrative side of things.
Sure.
And then we have the monthly meetings. Later this afternoon we have our annual meeting. We also, when we sign up, you know, we sign a lease like anywhere else, but we also sign a contract because we become directors of EarthCirc. And part of that is that we also financially contribute. So we pay our rent, but we also pay a little amount per month. And that's to support the community side of things, you know. So we have these communal meals and that comes out of that money that we all put in. And then if there's anything that we want to, you know, any changes that we want to make to the space, any, you know, things like replacing the heater in the common house, you know.
That'll have to be discussed. And
that all comes up at the meetings.
Right.
Yeah. So you put proposals through, like Sarah was saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody's in charge of the banking and knows how much is in the treasury and all that.
Yeah. So there's a treasurer. There's the EarthCirc treasurer and finance team, and then there's also the one for Murundaka, because there's the EarthCirc's the rent side of things.
Yeah.
And then Murundaka is to do with that community.
Yes.
Sort of pool of money.
So you're just putting in enough money for one community meal a week kind of thing, and the rest of it's your own household expenditure.
We put in a bit more because we're sort of paying it forward towards the co-op as well.
Uh-huh.
So for any unexpected things, things that we might not need but we want as a community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such as an outdoor sauna.
Yeah, this is always the joke.
Do you want that or not want that? Could you bring that one up?
It's just a bit of a joke, isn't it?
It's a bit of a joke because it's like, do we need an outdoor sauna or do we just want it?
These are the conversations that come up in meetings. Yeah. You can imagine with, you know, sort of,
bath with a fire underneath.
Yeah.
But then we just have to be conscious about the food and then just about the money and then just put it towards the meals first, maybe.
Yeah.
So we know that the security is there every Friday or every other meals we want to have. We have now the new allies and friends of Murundaka meal.
Yeah.
So we're inviting locals from our council, from the street, our neighbors.
People who have been involved with the community.
What a
Murundaka.
Good idea. Yeah. That's really really good idea.
Yeah. And then so people can come along and have a meal and, you know, get to know us, and we can get to know them and spread the word.
So, and we're trying to move back towards like bulk buying and stuff as well. I mean, obviously, again, COVID had a really huge impact on the community because people weren't allowed to interact and, you know, and so all of that stuff kind of fell by the wayside a little bit, but it's slowly rebuilding. You know, same with the community meals. We've started rebuilding that, and we're trying to get like a structure in place again. But at the moment, it's more about just getting people together and just sharing resources, sharing, you know, that experience of community and having fun. Yeah. You know, fun is actually one of the values, like in the vision statement. Yeah.
I've heard in the past that people got married. They got married in the common house.
Oh, I see. They used it as a wedding reception.
Their wedding. They used that. And also, another thing I wanted to say is we go away once a year. So we go to another community called Common Ground, which is near Seymour or somewhere. Yep. So we go away for 4 days, and that's all paid for.
By the overarch, by the, what are they called again? By the rental cooperative, the community equity.
That comes from the Murrindukka fees. So this is all the stuff that we're talking about, like with the fees being put towards community building, you know, and maintaining the spaces and the experiences that build community. Yeah.
And then we go away to Common Ground and have meals. We have, you know, we have drinks or whatever we want to do. We'll go for walks and we support another community by us going there, because then we can invite them over back to us as well.
Sharing ideas
and skills.
Yeah. And we have workshops, you know. This year we had a few, we had a couple of speakers, some from the community. You know, we still have a couple of founding members that live in the community. Some, you know, have moved to other co-ops, and other people have just kind of gone their own way. But yeah, we have Giselle and we have Makoto. They're still in the in the community.
Yeah.
They can provide their wisdom as well. So they've, you know, like we have that, and then we also have connected with other people. We had a speaker from
Eco Village.
Yeah.
Eco Village.
Yeah, he came. Yeah, that's right. He came the other week.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's Eco Village in Mullaney. Yeah.
Oh, right up in Queensland.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. All those connections.
So, we're inviting guest speakers. And
Can you tell me, you were telling me the other day that somebody, you went or somebody came to talk about like assertive communication or something at series or?
Yeah, so we did a workshop, the non-violent communication workshop for 2 days. And that, I think that's very beneficial for our community and how we interact with each other. Mm-hmm. How can we communicate better with each other and not cause conflicts or something. So this is the training we did. A few of us went, and that was good fun. It's good fun to also be connected with series. It's such a big thing. This is where I did my permaculture course, and that is very, very valuable.
We've only got one more minute. And I'm really great that we're sitting now talking about connection. So can you just take us out, Colette, with some thoughts about connections in all this and what it's meant to you?
Well, I think as a parent especially, it's been huge moving into this space with a village, with the support, and watching, you know, watching my kid as well with other kids. And we were talking about it the other day, me and another mum, just about how wonderful it is to raise children in this environment. And we hope that, you know, that's going to produce leaders, you know, who are going to be focused on sustainability and community and, you know, understand the importance of connection.
Final words from Sarah on that?
Yes, I love to see those kids, growing up, running around and just interacting with us and learning from us, and we learn from them. So,
wonderful. Yeah. That was so inspiring, and I'd love to talk for another half hour, but we haven't got one. So thanks to you both for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Everyone out there, you can find more about Murundaka at www.murundakacohousing.org.au, and you'll see the beautiful pictures there of the garden and the big shared area there. Go, as always, to localfoodconnect.org for all your local food news. And remember, if you want to support independent media, please subscribe to 3CR. We need your contributions to keep going. Until next week, love the land you're on, look after each other and share your surplus. Stay tuned for more Radical Radio.
You are what you eat. And you are what you eat. And you're even
Local Food Connections interviews with food producers, backyard growers and urban farmers. Join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio 855 on your AM dial, on 3CR Digital Radio and live streaming on 3cr.org.au/streaming. Local Food Connections, a show about the importance of local food in sustainable communities.
Goes from dust to dust. You gotta just trust that upper crust and maintain that good terrain.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.